Hello, all of our beautiful Women of Harry Potter listeners. This is Vanessa, and I just wanted to let you know that this is actually going to be the last episode of Women of Harry Potter that you will hear in your feed. Women of Harry Potter started as a Patreon perk, and after putting it up in a public feed for the last 6 months, we've realized that it's actually best suited as a Patreon perk. So from now on, once a month, you will get an exclusive episode of Women of Harry Potter at Harry Potter and the Sacred Texts Patreon. If you want to support us on Patreon and you aren't already, just go to harrypottersacredtexts.com and click on Support Us on Patreon. And an episode of Women of Harry Potter will be delivered right along with bloopers and other great perks right to your phone. We've so appreciated this wonderful community, and we've really appreciated you listening to Women of Harry Potter. Hi, Ariana.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for joining me here in this U-Haul that we're driving from Portland, Oregon to Florida.
Yep. I'm happy to help you move this goat in a U-Haul. It seemed really important to you. It is your turn to bless somebody. Who are you blessing today?
I'm very excited to bless the fat lady today.
Ooh, what's her name? Violet?
She doesn't have a name.
Oh, she doesn't have a name?
I think on Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, you blessed her for just being the fat lady and not having a name.
Oh, well, I had forgotten that.
So that is an incredible reason to bless her. But today, what I want to bless her for is the fact that she has to work every moment that she is awake and asleep. There are so many moments when the kids have snuck out of the common room and have to wake her up to get back in that just make me feel so bad for her and like remind me of so many people I know who are kind of just working all of the time. So I want to bless her and myself with like, I wish that we all didn't have to be that way. And I think she does a good job of sometimes taking care of herself and like leaving her portrait at night and going to hang out with her friend Violet and gossiping. And like, even though she literally has to be at work all the time, making time for herself.
Yeah, I think that there is such a beautiful metaphor, which I had never thought of until this moment, of the fat lady as like being someone on social media who like has to just be responding to things all the time. And I think that, you know, the fat lady probably does feel as though she has to respond to every student in every circumstance and always be there to let them in. And then also the other thing is she's on all the time and then she is off for the summer. And I would also imagine that that is then lonely.
Yeah, I have no idea what she does over the summer. If she just like goes and hangs out with other portraits all the time, like maybe it's a better life because she and Violet are like having adventures, or maybe she misses the connection that she has with the students. I will say she doesn't have that much of a connection with them because part of her job is to open anytime they say the password. So there are multiple instances in this book where she asks the question, like, why are you out so late? Or what happened? And Harry will just say the password and go in and not answer her question. Like, to be fair, she's being nosy, but also I hate that she's in this situation where she just has to do as they bid because the password is given to her. So she has to open.
She's like Ella Enchanted.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm really seeing her now as like someone in a service role who like you sort of maybe have a relationship with, but at the end of the day, they just have to like do whatever you say. Gross. Poor fat lady.
I know. The one thing that I see her doing so well in response to all of that pressure that's put on her is I think she picks great passwords. And I don't mean that lightly. I mean, I think she has to hear a word over and over every day, multiple times. And like, I think there's a lot of weight to that when it comes to your job. And we see in book 6 that she's drunk too much over the holidays and she changes the password to abstinence. And I just think it's the most clever thing that she can do because she has something she wants to remind herself of, right? Don't drink too much, abstinence. And she's making the kids do this work for her of reminding her. Like she's made the password a service to herself, even though she's the one who's at work who has to open the portrait hole, who is bored and constantly serving other people. I think there's just something so charming about that.
I completely agree. So what do you make of the fact that she gives, like, Neville basically a password?
I love it.
Do you think that Neville is her favorite? Like, Neville's the only one who's nice to her. And so she's like, do you know what? Neville loves Herbology. Neville has a hard time remembering passwords. And so I'm going to give him one that's easy for him.
I just think it means she's good at her job. That what she knows her job is she can't let a student in without the password. But she also knows that Neville's a student. And Sir Cadogan, when he takes over her role, when she gets slashed by Sirius Black, he changes the password multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And he does it for the fun of it. It's not to serve the students. And she is just so good at her job. The real heart of her job is serving the students. And Neville, she knows, is one of her students. She's gotten to know him. And so she's serving him by giving him a password that he can remember.
It's so nice. Maybe, and then she built up his confidence, and then he doesn't have a hard time remembering passwords anymore.
We can hope. Can I tell you a couple of other passwords that I really like that she's used?
Yes.
Balderdash.
Mm-hmm.
Flibbity gibbet.
Yep.
Can you just imagine? I think she's just picking words that are fun for her to hear, like, every couple of minutes.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of decorating your cubicle really cutely. It's like you're sitting in your cubicle all day and you're like, I might as well have really dumb, funny things up in my cubicle. There are no windows and no light, so it might as well be plastered with puppy photos.
Exactly. Like, what we hope is that, like, work environment is not oppressive, that people like where they work, that they don't have to do it 24 hours a day, every day. But, like, I think there's also something so human and so lovely about the instinct to, like, take something that you don't like if you're in a cubicle that you don't like, or if you're hanging in front of a common room entrance, and making it a little bit more fun for yourself.
I think even if you do like things, it's great to always make things a little sillier and a little more joyful.
Yeah, silliness, always welcome.
I couldn't agree more. I think that somebody who's able to make their job as fun for themselves as possible. There was a man who worked at Bolt Bus in South Station for a number of years, the Boston to New York route. And the way that every other person worked that job was, like, fine and competent. He had cards printed that he would hand out to you as you arrived so that it was genuinely, like, first come, first person got to enter the bus. And you were allowed to leave and take this and go to the bathroom and come back. And this was, like, not a Bolt Bus approved system. It was just a system that he was using. And I was talking to him about it once. And he was like, it makes my job less stressful. And he made them cute. They had stickers on them and whatever. And, like, it just made his job better. And I just thought it was, like, such an inspiring version of, like, taking control of your life and taking something that was, like, not a great system. And rather than even trying to, like, you know, run it up the flagpole, he was just like, I'm going to make my life better.
Absolutely. I also will say that she finds ways to make her job fun by giving herself fun passwords. She also, like, isn't nice to the students all the time. She complains when they come in late or when they, like, leave her hanging open. She once lies to Harry and tells him that she changed the password at midnight when he comes back late, even though she hasn't, just because she's annoyed at him for interrupting.
So that stuff I get, and I think that that is actually good pedagogy at Hogwarts.
I also just think it's, like, the perfect balance that, like, she's being expected to do this ridiculous thing, which is work all of the time, and she's found ways to make it fun, and she's not going to be, like, all over herself to make it fun for everyone when they are annoying her. She's taking care of herself in all the right ways.
Yeah. I was, as you know, a proctor who lived in the dorms for 7 years. And I went out of my way to make certain things really fun. We had study break every week and we would make our own cookies. And I would really try to put in the extra effort to make it as fun and spirited as possible. And if a student knocked on my door after 9 o'clock at night, I would just answer from behind the door, are you bleeding? And if the answer was no, I would then say, so go away. Because they knew, like, there is nothing you can need from me at 9 p.m. Like, there's nothing. If it's an actual emergency, you should be calling emergency services. If it's not an actual emergency, I'm in my pajamas and it's after 9 p.m. and I don't need to be on call all the time. And I always justified it as they are 18 and that this is a transition year where there is someone warm, but they need to learn that they don't live with their parents anymore. They are out in the real world. And sometimes you have crises at 10 p.m. that you can't do anything about until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And that is part of being an adult. And if it's a real emergency, what you have to do is go to the emergency room or call the fire department. And I think that the fat lady is teaching them that is like, if you're going to wake me at 1 a.m, I'm not going to be nice to you about it. You get nice to me after I've had my coffee.
Yeah.
So, Ariana, I'm wondering if this is a passive-aggressive way for you to tell me that you think you're working too much, because you are somebody who works all the time. And I feel like in our work relationship, I will say to you, like, I think you should stop working today. And you'll say, but I have to get this done.
But I really do have to get those things done. It's hard because we founded a company. Like, I care really deeply about everything that we do. It's so much of my life. And so it becomes like a part of all of my life. It doesn't feel like a typical 9-to-5 job that I just like turn off and walk away from at the end of the day. But I do think there are ways in which I know that time away from work makes me even better at doing my work the next day.
And even if it didn't, it's just healthy and good. Sometimes I think you forget that.
I think what I feel like is healthier for me is feeling like I'm good at my job. Like, I think if I were to not get my work done, that would be really hard for my sense of self-worth. And it would make me less happy in the long run.
So can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I would still love you just as much, and I would still think you are just as worthy of a person if you didn't get your work done. I really do.
Yeah. I'm not like, wow, you mean self-worth isn't tied to my work? What? I know that intellectually.
So I'm going to use that as an excuse to transition to our quiz, because I do think that this is a very typical thing in women's work. And I decided to write our quiz based on the book The Second Shift, which was a book based on a series of studies in the 1980s about women who had entered the workforce but found that they were doing just as much housework as they were prior to entering the workforce. So the conclusion that the study came to was that basically women were just expected to now work 2 full-time jobs.
Right.
So I have 3 questions for you about this study and its finding. In their 1989 book, Horschild and Manchung identified which of the following within marriages: A, an expectation gap; B, a leisure gap; C, a pay gap; or D, an effort gap.
So the question is, which did they identify
as being the main issue in relationships that they studied, in heterosexual relationships in which the woman worked a job?
I would say an expectation gap.
No, it was a leisure gap. Men still had time to rest, and women never did.
That's so interesting. I think all of them are true. I think men were still expecting women to do the work that they would have done even if they weren't at the job. I think that men had much more leisure time because women were doing all of the housework. I think that, of course, women are being paid less at this time. And I think that because women are doing so much work, of course, they're putting way more effort in.
Yes, it was a tricky question I wrote.
Yes, it was.
So, question number 2. Which of these kinds of marriages was not identified in their 1989 book?
Gay marriage.
Yes, they were not talking about gay marriage. They were talking about the differences of expectations between men and women in marriages. So they identified 3 different kinds of marriages, and one of these was not them. A was a transitional marriage. B was a progressive marriage. C was a traditional marriage. D is an egalitarian marriage.
I think transitional marriage is the lie.
No, so transitional marriages were true. It was marriages that were going through the awkward transition of women going to work and of trying to figure out how to make it a more egalitarian marriage. But there was a lot of messiness in those transitions. What they did not identify were any progressive marriages.
That was my second choice.
Yeah. Okay, so last question. Women working a second shift does not cause which of these unintended consequences? A, guilt; B, a lack of sexual drive; C, marital tension; or D, a lack of self-confidence?
I'm going to say lack of self-confidence.
Correct. But women were feeling guilty. They were too tired to even find their partners attractive. It caused a lot of marital tension, and more egalitarian marriages were happier because the women were happier, and therefore the marriage was better.
What a revolutionary idea.
I know, but in 1989, sadly, this was a revolutionary idea, and it's still a revolutionary idea in many places.
Unfortunately. Well, something I will say is that the quizzes in every episode is a way that I decorate my cubicle. It's so fun and silly. It's like the password that makes me happy every time we come back to it.
Flippity gibbet.
Balderdash.
Well, thank you so much for that beautiful blessing.
Thank you, Vanessa.
I just almost accidentally called you Hermione.
Leviosa.
Never occurred to me that that sounds like love you.
This has been Women of Harry Potter. I'm Ariana Nettleman.
And I'm Vanessa Zoltan.
And we are a product of Not Sorry Productions. And our music is by Nick Bull.
Bye.